This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back to Midday Mobile, and time for a checkup. And September is set aside as National Suicide Prevention Month. It's the annual observance in the U.S. dedicated to raising awareness about suicide, its prevention, and the importance of mental health. And our guest, Jason Tanner, he's back on the show with Bayview Professional Associates to shed some light on this topic. Thanks for coming back.
I appreciate it.
Let's talk about this month or any month of the year, as you kind of look around, who's at risk for suicide? Who is that person?
Sure. I think the stigma about suicide is it's the person who has a chronic or serious mental illness. But the reality is most of the numbers that we have about 49,000 people that die of suicide each year. And the majority of those people are functioning people, mom, dads, grandparents, teenagers and kids who are going to school, working, enjoying life, but they're overburdened and overwhelmed.
But yeah, because you hear that from people, you go, I wouldn't have figured it would have been her or him, right? Right. There's always that reaction, like, well, not them.
Right, right.
But it was them.
It was them, absolutely. So it's the people that we interact with every day, not the people that are away at a hospital. And when you look at the numbers, one of the most shocking numbers to me is that in that 49,000, 7,000 of those are kids and teenagers between 10 and 24. That's three large high schools of kids we lose each year from suicide.
So, out of 49,000 suicide deaths, 7,000 are kids 10 to
24. That's that college age as well. And of course, it's spread across all age groups. You know, they break it into 20-year segments. So that 25 to 44 is 16,000. The same for the next group, 45 to 64. And then in our elderly population, we have about 10,000 a year. So it really,
really
spread.
Elderly.
Yeah. So it spread across all ages and all racial groups.
I always thought there was more focused, I guess, on teens, which it obviously is a bunch of them, but you're still saying those other, you know, cohorts of ages have account for 16%+.
Right. And the CDC tells us that the largest increases are in our youth and our elderly. So even though those numbers aren't as big as the average age of the population, they're increasing each year as well.
What are warning signs on this and doing what you do? What do you look for?
Yeah, warning signs. So we can break those down into three areas: what people talk about, what people feel, and then what people do. So talking about, it's rare that somebody makes a suicide act that they haven't tried it before or talked about it before. Certainly also people feel a lot of guilt and shame, and they feel burdens. So the time to act is when you hear somebody talk about it or they make that first attempt that's not successful. Feelings, most people know those: hopeless, sadness, pain, physical or emotional pain.
Physical pain.
Right, right. Certainly, you probably had people on the show that talk about chronic pain.
Sure.
And people trying to get treatment for that.
So that leads to people feeling like there's nothing.
People just get worn down and say, I can't deal with this anymore.
Wow.
And then behavior changes. So when people approach that point of thinking, I'm going to take my life, they become risk takers, they withdraw. They have mood changes, swinging from one mood to the other. They have sleep and eating problems, and they may also abuse substances. So those are signs that you can look for in people that maybe are heading in that direction.
All right, Jason, now you've given us signs, but here's this part that is the tough part, is addressing that with somebody. And, you know, how can we talk about suicide with people in our lives? I know that it's, and I will wait to hear from your professional opinion, but people I talk to just on the military side too say, don't worry about asking, because they've thought, you know, you're not going to put the idea in their head. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think the stigma for people is that aren't professionals in the field.
Right.
Is if I say something, I'm going to make it worse. What makes it worse is silence. So the first thing we need to do is be able to talk to that person.
But that is so weird, right? I mean, you not being a professional like you, we go, well, I don't want to say anything about it because then they'll think about it. Well, heck, they've thought about it already.
And the person already feels isolated. So if you're quiet, it just makes them feel more isolated. The thing that I tell people is you need to tell them they're important. You need to tell them they're cared for, that you love them. If saying I love you to somebody is too gushy, of touchy-feely, then tell them they're important to you, that you like having them around. And I think the other thing is give them some hope. Dr. John Draper, who ran the suicide prevention hotline before we had a national one, said in his research the main reason that people didn't complete a suicide after they talked to one of their counselors was they said, I felt hope for the next hour, the next day, the next week. So given some...
And smaller bites like that, too. Right. You're saying it doesn't have to be hope for the rest of their life. You just have to get through hours, days, weeks.
Yeah, that's right. I think the other thing I would say is we need to advocate for services. I got a call the other day from a lady who was in Central Alabama that said, I don't want to come to Mobile, to Alta Point to get services, which was shocking to me because Montgomery's right there. Birmingham would be closer.
Sure.
So I think it is that while we know we have a problem, we don't have the services available quickly for people. And I know there's a lot of great private practitioners in town, but I hear people all the time say the waiting list is 6 to 12 months to see a psychiatrist, to get in with a counselor.
Right.
So I think advocating for services is important.
Yeah, because if you're telling people, if you feel this way, to get treatment, get talk to somebody, and then they go, but I can't get in.
Right, right. One of the organizations I really love outside of Alta Point is an organization you may have heard of, Jennifer Claire Moore Foundation. It's a peer helper group that goes into schools. They train kids to talk with kids.
Oh, good.
About suicidal thoughts. And then, of course, those kids then can connect with adults that can take over and make sure those kids get services. But there's something powerful about talking with somebody who can relate to you, whether it's a veteran, another kid, an elderly person.
Peer group, somebody in your peer group.
Right. So those services can extend beyond professional services, but also advocacy and peer support as well.
You know, at Alta Point at Bayview, y'all have different techniques. Obviously, there's the talking portion of it, but the things on the head, the transcranial. What is this thing? I've heard y'all describe it before. Right. What's the right name for it? Things on the head is not the right name for it.
We have two different innovative treatments. One is transcranial magnetic stimulation, and the other is Spravato treatment. Transcranial stimulation, magnetic stimulation, is the treatment's always been to improve the use of neurochemicals in the brain that are responsible for mood. Those would be things like dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine. So we've got good medicines to help those. But one of the things we've learned about the brain is it's not just the chemicals, but it's the messages that are sent to the brain and those chemicals. Sometimes those message pathways or neurons aren't as effective. So the magnet is focused on the part of the brain that's receives those messages and improves that communication through that pathway by magnetic stimulation. So a doctor could actually use that machine and look and say, hey, it's the connectivity is only 20%, but through this treatment, I'm going to improve it to 80 or 90%.
Wait, Jason, you can get a bench like a baseline and then compare it to the...
Absolutely. So great. Innovative treatment, stuff that I would have never imagined when I started in the 80s.
Wow.
Spravato is another treatment.
Now, what is Spravato?
Spravato is a mild hallucinogen. And what we also discovered, in addition to the neurochemicals that improve mood, we have chemicals that block or regulate those chemicals. So Spravato targets a blocking chemical that a doctor described it to me. It's like you have a parking brake on your engine, and it won't run efficiently. So that Spravato releases that parking brake so that when you're pushing the gas, improving those serotonin, dopamine, or norepinephrine, they work more effectively. So I've got a couple of patients that I see in counseling that got both of those treatments, dramatic improvement within a month or two, people that had been suffering from treatment-resistant depression for
years. Right, I've heard about this. Yeah.
And then suddenly they're a new person. They're doing everything that they were counseled to do. Their family says, wow, you look great. What happened to you? So really effective treatments for a segment of our population. And how that relates back to suicide prevention is when people are hopeless for a number of years, they're at greater risk to try to take their life.
Jason Tanner, our guest with Bayview Professional Associates. Let's talk about if people want to get help for themselves or somebody, a loved one, you know, a family member. How do they get in touch? What do they do?
Sure. So there's several things I wanted to share. You know, just since July of 2022, we have our national call line, 988. So if you're thinking about suicide, you can call that number. You'll get
988.
You'll get a counselor immediately that'll talk to you, hopefully provide some hope and some referral for services. For those that don't like to talk on the phone, there's a texting option. So it's 741-741, and then you type in the word home. And so a counselor will text you back and dialogue back and forth about what your issues
741, are. 741, then home.
Right. Okay. And so both are confidential. You know, they're not going to come looking for you, but they're going to communicate with you as long as you need to work through that. Of course, at AltaPoint, if you want services with us, the number is 450-2211. I also wanted to mention in Mobile, we have the Behavioral Health Crisis Center. It's that 24 to 48 hour in lieu of the ER when you're feeling emotionally distraught and maybe suicidal. And that's been there for a couple of years now and is beginning to be more utilized and is a good kind of quick place to go get some help and get started in a right direction.
Is that where you have to have a recommendation to call ahead?
You can call our crisis line and talk to them about that and go. And you know, I think you probably heard of that program before, the police and paramedics often will take people with those.
Yeah, people that they used to, I mean.
Take to the jail.
Or the jail.
Right.
They didn't need to go to jail. They needed to get help.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Had a couple of websites I wanted to plug.
Sure.
Suicide Prevention Response Center, SPRC.org, has a lot of great resources run by SAMHSA, has some videos. A lot of times we talk about suicide in a negative light when famous people do it, but they have resources about people who've overcome suicidal thought. The other is the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP.org, another great resource. And of course, you can Google those or search those and go right to them. So great resources for people in addition to treatment options that are available.
Appreciate you bringing that information to us, spreading the word out here this month and every month. Jason Tanner, thanks for being here.
Thank you.